What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of 5280 Nerd. I am one of your hosts, Micah McCartney.
And I am the other, Sean Porter. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This is episode 14. We're very excited, believe it or not. We made it this far. We're hoping to make it a lot further. How was your week, buddy?
It was an awesome, awesome week. A better weekend, which our listeners may not know, but a good friend of mine and yours actually just got married, and I officiated that wedding. Believe it or not, I was I'm not ordained, but there's some loopholes that you can marry somebody and officiate them without being ordained. And yeah, Sean, it was a great, great wedding, and me and you both had a lot of fun. How did I do? Are they cursed forever because of my ceremony?
Well, I wouldn't say forever.
Yeah, 7 years at least.
7 years, bad luck getting married by Micah. No, it was great, man. You did a great job. You got up there. I could tell you were a little nervous at the start. But yeah, man, so once you got going, it was you were on point, buddy.
Thanks. No one else in the audience knew that I was nervous except you, because you know me so well.
Yeah, for sure.
I killed it. By the way, congratulations again to Erica and Michaela. We love you guys.
Very
awesome.
Much. Congratulations, guys. We hope you're having a great honeymoon and all that fun stuff. So, and thank you so much for inviting me to your wedding. It was a good time.
Yeah, good time for sure. Sean, I am so excited to jump in this week. We have a lot of content. Does it feel like we haven't done this in a while? It feels like we haven't done 5280
in
like
almost
2 weeks. I know, it feels longer than that.
Yeah. No, it was a little bit different last week. We had a special guest, which we don't normally have,
and he was horrible.
Yeah, it was terrible.
He was awful, fucking the worst host. Yeah. Worst guest we've ever. I don't think we're ever gonna have guests again.
Well, I wanted to start the show by apologizing for our guest last week because it was fucking terrible. So
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry to our listeners. You don't deserve that kind of shitty content. And fuck you, Eddie. Fuck you. But in all seriousness, Eddie was awesome.
Eddie, you were great. And we cannot even be more thankful that you came onto our show. For you guys that don't know, Eddie is from the EJC show. If you didn't get a chance to check that out last week, go give their podcast a listen. It's phenomenal. It's really funny. It's him and two other guys. I would give it a total thumbs up. It's a great show. So,
yeah. No, we were just kidding. Eddie was awesome. Thanks again, Eddie.
Please come back.
Please come back now. Can we call Eddie? We're calling Eddie right
calling
up.
Eddie.
And Eddie, you're on.
Oh, I'm Eddie right here. Just Eddie. I'm a little Eddie. I'm a little Eddie. Eddie.
I hope he hears that. Never happen. He doesn't listen to our shit. He's never going to hear this anyway.
No,
so
guess
we'll
ever come on our show again.
No, never.
Sealed that deal.
Ever.
Ever. All right, well, let's get into the show. Back to normal, guys. So let's start with some 2 cents. Looks like, Micah, you had some stuff you wanted to review this week.
Yeah, I do. So I know, Sean, you hate anime.
I do.
But I want to run this premise.
It's the worst.
This premise of this anime is so good, and I really I haven't really gotten into an anime in a while, but Netflix actually offers a pretty good library of anime, Sean. So, the anime is called Sword Art Online. So the premise of this whole show is it's 2022 and there's like VR headsets that, people are using, and it's very popular, and like gaming has become much more prevalent in the world. And there's a new game that, called Sword Art Online. So it's an MMORPG. And, everyone's excited. This game's like supposed to be the biggest game in the world. There's only 10,000 people that are allowed to play it at first. And so 10,000 people log in, you have to lie down like on your bed to use this VR headset, and they're in the game. They're having fun. And then they find out that the creator of the game locked everybody in, and you can't get out of the video game, you can't log out. And if somebody takes the VR headset off, he wrote code into the game to where it'll blow up. Like the headset will actually blow up if somebody like takes the VR headset off of you. and you can't wake up until you clear the game.
That sounds awful.
It's actually pretty scary. It was actually, it's a very eerie feeling. So like 10,000 people are trapped in this game and they can't get out until they clear the game. So it's crazy. So like some people like live alone and they like starve to death because no one knew that they were couldn't get out of this game. And like other people, like their mom or dad, like take off the VR headset and just explodes and they die. And so there's like mass chaos, and like some people they just put in the hospital and they have to like put an IV in them until they figure out what's wrong. Does that sound pretty interesting? Like you're stuck in a game and no one can figure out how to get you out without blowing up, so, without this VR headset blowing up. So they just like keep you alive artificially pretty much.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
For sure. And so then is it more about what's going on the outside, or is it like these people's adventures now that they're stuck in this game?
Well, season one, I haven't finished it completely, but it bounces back and forth. But I've had some spoilers from a friend of mine, Eric, by the way, thanks for turning me on to this. He told me a little bit what happens in season two, and it seems like season two bounces back and forth from like the real world to the game a lot more frequently than season one does. Okay. But really super interesting premise, really well written. It's very action packed. It's very enthralling. It's very exciting. And even if you don't like anime, it's on Netflix. So it's called Sword Art Online. I know that's a horrible, horrible name.
I'm sure it sounds really cool in like Japanese or whatever.
Well, the cool thing is it's dubbed over in English, so you don't have to read subtitles. But the second season, you have to read subtitles.
But I'm sure the word Sword Art Online sounds a lot cooler in Japanese than it does in English.
It probably sounds way better.
It just doesn't
yeah.
translate very well.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's some translate, as with anything. But man, it's a great anime. And if we have any listeners from Japan or
I'm sorry because I probably really offended you by trying to act like I was talking Japanese.
No, if we have any listeners from Japan or whatever, like they're probably like, these stupid Americans, that's been out for like a decade.
That's what babies watch, you dummies.
Yeah, but
it sounds
for
good,
this
man.
American,
I'll actually check it out. The only anime I've ever seen was actually on Netflix. It was Titanfall.
Yeah, Attack on Titan.
Yeah. That's right. Attack on Titan. Only one I've ever seen, and I loved it. And so, yeah, man, I'll give it a shot. Check it out.
Yeah, I'd recommend it, man. If you watch just the first episode, really gets you hooked. It gets right to the point right away. There's no build-up. I mean, they jump right into the story, and it's there. So it bounces around really quickly. There's a lot of fight scenes, and it's great. And the art is actually done really well, so...
When you first started describing it, it sounded a lot like that book I reviewed, Ready Player One.
It did, yeah. That's why I wanted to bring it up, because it does. It's kind of the same premise.
Nice, man. Yeah, I'll definitely check it out. You might actually get me to check out some anime. That's impressive. So
yes. Mission accomplished.
If I hate it, I'll never, ever, ever watch it again.
So, no pressure.
No pressure. All right, well, let's jump into our news for this week. Do you want to get us started?
Dun, 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 dun. What do we have here? What's the news for today? The new Star Wars trailer. New Star Wars trailer came out, Sean, after Monday Night Football, I believe. And, yeah, I love this trailer. The whole freaking internet freaked out, blew up,
huge,
exploded. And, first of all, what did you think of the trailer? What was your first impression of it?
Oh, man, I can't wait to see it, dude. I'm super excited. I think it looks amazing. I knew it was going to be amazing. But yeah, it was really good. It was kind of weird. I saw everybody that they've talked about being in it except for Hamill himself. A lot of speculation circling that. Me and you talked about this a little bit earlier in the week. I'm not a huge fan of trailers. I don't like spoilers. I don't like trailers. Especially on a movie that I really want to see. I like a lot of the anticipation of it all. So, that being said, I'm glad that I saw it now. it encouraged me to check it out. We already bought our tickets for December to go see it. So yeah, man, I'm definitely excited. What'd you think of it?
Yeah. No, I loved it. I think it gave, the first trailer was much more teasing, I felt like, and the second trailer that they just released was more like a bigger chunk of content and like part of the story, you know? They didn't like tease like Han Solo and Chewie at the end, you know?
Yeah.
It was like, it felt like a, what, it gives you more content, which makes sense because they, that's why they released it closer to December. But no, I thought it was a great trailer. I'm really excited to see what happens. I don't want to speculate what happens. There's all these videos me and Sean have watched some of them and heard of them where they go literally screenshot by screenshot about what they think's happening in the movie, what's what their predictions are, and trying to figure out spoilers. And I don't really care for that. I just want to, I'm like Sean, I want to just enjoy it when I see it. So, but the hype is real, man. The hype is very real.
They said that like a rough estimate was within 24 hours of that trailer being released, it had been viewed 128 million times. So
yeah,
it was like, I think it was like the most viewed thing ever on the internet probably. But
yeah, I think it's safe to say the prediction that me and you both completely agree on is it's going to be the biggest box office movie in history, hands down. This doesn't, it's not even a competition. So,
well, they opened ticket sales the same day that, that they showed that trailer, the same evening. And we looked like pretty much right away and got tickets just barely. Got the last two seats actually at a theater we wanted to go to because it's a little different. You get a pick the seat you want to sit in, and they have like recliners and stuff, so it's a little nicer theater. But yeah, every other seat was sold out already. And it looked like through the rest of the weekend it was sold out, and it was like up until like, I think it was like 5 or 6 days after the tickets we bought are already sold out. So, and that's just at that one theater. So I'm sure all the other theaters are experiencing it as well. And they looked like they were showing it in like every actual movie screen in that theater. And it was like on from like 7 o'clock is when it opens, and it's going to like midnight. So it's on like every theater, every screen in that theater. So.
Yeah, and also I'll bring this up. The Star Wars movie marathon has been confirmed by Fandango that there will be a Star Wars marathon offered in select theaters leading up to the first showing of Star Wars: The Force Awakens. Thought I should bring that up while we're on the subject of Star Wars.
Yeah.
So you can watch every Star Wars up until Episode 7.
I won't do that. But you can.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool. I think it's cool that they're offering that. I mean, like I said, it'd be fun. I think it'd be fun to do, Sean, because, like, you don't have to sit through all. You could, like, go out and come back, like, watch a couple, go out, come back. And
so we talked about this earlier. Like, we heard about this, and we wanted to talk about it tonight, obviously. And so I did the math, and I figured out it's about 15 and a half hours to watch all
stuff. Yeah, well, Yeah, you're not going to sit through that unless you're like, some Star Wars fans will, but
so you think, and that's the running time. So if you add in like 30 minutes in between
advertising. Oh yeah. It's an all day thing.
Oh my gosh. Crazy. I don't think I could sit through that much. I think I would be pretty burned out by the time I got to 7.
I agree. But I think it's cool. Like you'd be like, okay, we're going to leave for a couple of hours. We'll come back. You probably a lot of people will do that.
The good thing you would get through Jar Jar Binks first. So,
yeah, that's true. Thank God. We both can agree he was the worst decision for any Star Wars character. Jar Jar is and will always be the worst.
Yeah, and honestly, like I didn't mind Jar Jar Binks that much. But he was definitely the worst character in the Star Wars franchise.
Ah, Jar Jar.
I thought it was interesting. It was still a Star Wars movie. I was more annoyed with Anakin Skywalker than I was with Jar Jar Binks, to be honest with you.
Not a great actor.
Yeah, that kid was terrible.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've seen all the other movies he's been in. Oh, wait, never mind. He hasn't been in.
Great point.
Yeah. Yeah, man. No, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. And obviously, the rest of the world's looking forward to it. Dude, I saw this thing online, and it was like, have you seen those, like, they're like 2 foot tall action figures that they put every now and then?
Yeah.
The Star Wars franchise in China put 150 of the stormtroopers on the Great Wall of China, like all lined up as like a promotion to get the movie hyped in China. It looked so cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It looked awesome. Yeah. I'll have to look that up. That sounds cool. Yeah. My question to you, Sean, is there, when there's such a high standard for a movie like this, is the hype going to bury us? Are we going to, it's not going to meet up to its expectations. That's a dangerous thing to have this movie on a pedestal. And what if it's a total piece of shit movie and it's bad? I mean, that's a possibility.
No, for sure. And I would imagine, I'm sure J.J. Abrams is doing all he can to make sure that doesn't happen after we saw what happened to Fantastic Four. From what I've seen, I don't see that happening. Just the nostalgia factor of having a lot of the old cast back, I think that'll carry you at least through one movie. Getting rid of some of the bloat that was there before, like the Jar Jar Binks and whatnot. I don't see that happening. From what I've seen, it looks really good. I do think there is probably a tipping point where people are going to get oversaturated with Star Wars, how much stuff is coming out. I mean, there are a ton of comic books out right now. There's a ton of toys and games and cartoons and you name it. It's out right now. So
yeah. See, I don't think that's going to be possible, them being oversaturated with merchandising. I mean, people can't consume that shit fast enough. Otherwise, they wouldn't make it and it wouldn't be profitable.
For sure.
I mean, but I think...
I was a little annoyed with like Force Friday and all that stuff. Like, I'll buy action figures every now and then of stuff that I'm interested in, and like I get Nerd Block and all these other things, and I didn't purchase anything that was Star Wars. I haven't purchased anything that was Star Wars related other than my tickets, because it is kind of annoying to me, that side of it. So
yeah, it doesn't bother me that much, but I worry about the hype for sure. I'm with you, Sean. I don't think this is going to be a bad movie. But I'm not sure if it'll be a great Star Wars movie.
It looks pretty good, man.
I've had my hopes let down by movies before that I thought the trailer was awesome and it just wasn't that great.
I think more than I think it's going to be a great movie, but I think people will build it up to a point where nothing can match what they have in their heads.
Yeah.
And that would be biggest worry, I think, because I think it's, yeah, people are going to be expecting, like, this is going to be the greatest movie ever made. And it's probably going to be a good movie, for sure. But to put that kind of weight on, it's impossible to reach. Like, no one's going to...
Right. No, I agree. I it's hard to tell, but I think you're right. It's going to be a good movie, but how good will it be is the question. I'm sure J.J. Abrams and Disney, when they bought that from George Lucas... I'm sure they went through hundreds of scripts that were like trying to refine. What's going to be the best story? What do we do? What's the best formula? Because they knew that the pressure and how they couldn't fuck this up. So they knew they couldn't.
Especially with all the money they have invested in it. And I'm sure it cost a ton to actually make the films after they got the rights to them. I do know like George Lucas was an advisor on the films. So.
Really? Okay.
And a lot of Lucasfilms has worked with them. I mean, a lot of them had stayed on after they were bought out, but
yeah.
I think it's going to be phenomenal. And it does, no matter what happens, it's still going to break every record in the world, so.
Right around the corner, man. December. Can't wait.
Super excited for it.
Yeah. Well, Sean, something that came up, something else in the news this week, a former ESPN NFL Network head leads up the new Activision Blizzard esports division. I'll just read this little quote from Polygon here. Steve Borenstein, former CEO of ESPN. Have you heard of ESPN? Kind of a big deal. And the NFL Network, the biggest sport in the world, their network, and former president of Major League Gaming, not that big, are joining forces to help Activision Blizzard create a new division dedicated to esports, the company announced today. Sean, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting, man. I don't know what Activision Blizzard has in store. There's been a lot of speculation of what they want to do with it, and with Steve Bornstein's background, a lot of people have speculated that they're going to try to get into putting out like a network esports channel, which would be interesting, I guess.
You guess?
You know, man, I'm just not, I haven't bought into the esports thing. I think it's awesome. I think it's cool that it's growing the game community, and I think it's cool that kids who have devoted their lives to playing video games have an opportunity to make money at it, and if they're really good at it and it's something that they're passionate about, I think all that stuff is great. I just, it's like, I don't know, man, it's kind of like golf. I love playing golf, but I don't necessarily want to watch it. So, yeah.
I don't know.
Not interested in watching it, to be honest.
I disagree. I'm on the complete opposite end. For the wedding this last weekend with my buddies, we got to play a lot of video games this last weekend and hang out. And we all just watched Twitch right before the wedding for like 3 hours, 3.5 hours. We watched some Destiny live streamers. We watched some Hearthstone live streamers. We watched some League of Legends streamers. And dude, it's fun. To me, I think it's just fun. I'm a big advocate for streaming. I don't watch a ton of it, but I would say I watch probably like about 5 to 10 hours a week of live stream gaming. Like, that's not a ton, but I enjoy it, and I'm excited about it. And I think a lot of sportscasters, like, first of all, it's my podcast and I can say whatever the fuck I want. So fuck you, Colin Cowherd, because first of all, you're a shitty analyst for ESPN anyway, but he's like, I don't know if you heard this quote. He's like, the day they start broadcasting video games on ESPN, I quit. It's like, fuck you, dude. Like, why are you judging? Like, it's not a sport. It's a competition, yeah. You know? What's wrong with that? Why are you
already,
so against...
Didn't they already come out and say that they're broadcasting?
They already have broadcasted. Yeah. They already have broadcasted two things. I don't have them in our notes right here, but I know that there was a Call of Duty gaming esport event that was on ESPN2, and then there was a League of Legends, I believe, or there was another one that I'm forgetting. But I know Call of Duty has been on ESPN before.
I think Dota, wasn't there championships on there as well?
It might have been Dota. Yeah. I don't know. But, I mean, that's a problem if all these broadcasters are like, huh, well, I'm taking a stand on something that means nothing. Like, why? That's stupid.
Well, yeah, I mean, who cares? I think in the long run, it's like, well, then leave. Nobody cares. Like,
yeah.
They're not going to be broadcasting esports events anyways. They don't know anything about the games or the sports themselves. So, and nobody wants to watch, you know, a 60-year-old man talk about somebody playing Battlefield, you know. It's not the same demographic, so it's just ridiculous that you would even care. But
because he knows nothing about it, it's like, why are you?
and me saying that, like, I'm not interested in watching it, which is like, I love video gaming and I think it's great. Like I said, I'm excited that it exists, and I think it's only good for gamers and games across the world. It's just something I'm not interested in watching. Like, I love playing golf, like I said, but I don't want to watch it, or tennis or whatever. Same with gaming. Like, I think it's great. I've seen games before played competitively, and I think it's cool to watch and get tips and tricks.
But not even like, let's say it was Destiny for a Crucible match. Really? Even if they, like a 6v6? You wouldn't want to throw like $10 down on a team, and I think that'd be fun. I mean, to each his own. That's cool, sure. But I for me personally, I think it's awesome, and I'm all for esports growing. I hope League of Legends and Dota and a bunch of MOBAs and Heroes of the Storm and that, you know, Blizzard their MOBA that came out and Hearthstone and all of it. They're all great. They're all awesome, and there's a huge following. And I just think it's ridiculous that anybody would even form a negative opinion about it. But yeah.
Yeah, for sure, man. I think it's a huge market, and I think a lot of people will enjoy it, and I know a lot of people do enjoy it. And again, like I said, like I think it's great for the industry. I think it's great for gaming. I think it does take a lot of skill and talent to be really great at some of these games. You know, I know even playing against mediocrely well players, sometimes it's frustrating because I just get destroyed. So, you know, I know how many hours it takes to actually become really good at something, especially a video game.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, I'm all for it. I think it's a great opportunity for a lot of people. It's just something I'll probably for sure check out, but I wouldn't watch all the time or follow really.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me read this quote from Polygon real quick. Last year, Activision Blizzard created entertainment that was viewed and played by over 150 million people for more than 13 billion hours. This dwarfs the engagement that fans spend on all other sports. Bornstein said in a prepared statement, I believe esports will rival the biggest traditional sports leagues in terms of future opportunities, and between advertising, ticket sales, licensing, sponsorships, and merchandising, there are tremendous growth areas for this industry. I'm excited to help Activision Blizzard for the leadership position in this exciting growth area, end quote, by the man who was the CEO of ESPN and NFL Network. He is saying, Stephen Bornstein is saying, it's going to rival major sports. So,
I mean, like, he's not going to bash it.
Oh, I don't think he's going to make a statement like that. That's a blank.
This might work out, hopefully.
I disagree.
No, I think it's...
I think he's right.
I think it's a big deal, for sure. And to say something, the hour is something somebody watched. Yeah, if you could translate that into revenue, I think that'll be great. And I think they'll make a ton of money off of it.
There's just not a real platform for it right now, Sean. Like, yeah, there's not like a... I mean, Twitch is kind of a platform for it, but not everyone has Twitch. It needs to be easily accessible. More so, you know what I mean? I mean, it is, if you're looking for it, you can find it easily, but
well, I think they're been reading a lot of like stats and stuff. I know a majority of, Twitch followers and people who are watching this stuff are, you know, our younger audience. And definitely, you know, in anything, if you could grab that audience, that's where you're going to make a lot of money because they have more time to spend on things like that. I'm curious that they would even go to a TV network because, you know, kids don't really watch a lot of TV nowadays. Most of it's on their phones or their computers or more so their tablets and stuff. So maybe even
right.
Like having a channel that's accessible through all the consoles, I think would be pretty epic. Like if
maybe an app.
Yeah. Yeah. I think something like that, like probably like Twitch. I don't know. Even if maybe they could partner with Twitch or whatever. Yeah, man, it's exciting. It's cool to see what they could do and what possibilities can happen with it. So,
and if you're against esports, that's fine. But something that I brought up that I heard a quote, you know, it's not a sport. It's a competition, just like chess or checkers or any other board game or whatever. It's a competition of the mind. It's not necessarily you have to be an athlete. But what's wrong with that? Competitions are fun to watch. I think it's great, but how the bottom line, the end game, right? Yeah, I know they'll freak out. How big a step do you think this is to make esports mainstream? Is this an over exaggeration? Are we still a long ways out from esports being big, or is it closer than we think?
No, man, I think, I would be surprised if we weren't seeing a lot more esports next year. I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be pretty prevalent. I think it already is. You know, I mean, they already said 150 million people watched Blizzard last year, you know, with 13 million hours of watching. So
13 billion.
Yeah, 13
hours.
Billion hours of watching. So, yeah, man, I think it kind of it reminds me a little bit of Americans don't follow soccer a ton, but the rest of the world does. So I think gaming, like soccer, is universal. I mean, it's everywhere. Every country has gaming. Every major country, for sure, you know, is on teams and gaming, and it's a world event. So anytime when you're able to have a worldwide community, I think you're going to be able to sell it pretty easily. So
I agree. I think it's definitely within 3 years it's going to be pretty mainstream, and how big these networks are going to be involved with broadcasting it, because who knows the life of TV and where that's going, because streaming is kind of taking over and cutting the cable. We've talked about that a million times, but who knows? It's very exciting. It's very interesting. I love it. I enjoy it. It makes me happy. And I think it's a big step. And fuck you, Colin Coward, you fucking asshole. There, now we can move on. Fucking prick. I hate that guy.
He probably listens.
All right.
For sure, so.
Yeah. Yeah, he's listening. Oh, he's listening. Okay. Next up, David Goyer, the creator of this. Is it Goya or Goyer? Goyer. David Goyer, the creator of the new show on Sci-Fi called Krypton. He released some info, Sean, about what time the show takes place. So he says, you know, it's in development right now. Krypton, the show, is meant to show Krypton at the height of its power and its development at Sci-Fi, the channel. It's been revealed to us that it is taking place 200 years before Man of Steel, the movie that me and Sean both love very, very, very much. That's pretty cool. I thought we should put that in, since we're such big fans of Man of Steel. It'd be interesting to see like a Krypton 200 years before it's starting to self-destruct. And I think there's a lot of ways you could go with that story, and very interesting. What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, man, I think that'd be cool to see for sure. I'm a little nervous about it being on Sci-Fi. I don't think I've ever seen a show on Sci-Fi I liked. So hopefully it's done well, I guess. I mean, I would imagine. I don't see DC releasing a property like that. Or maybe it like is outside their scope or property because it's not really one of their heroes. It's just, I don't know, man. Oh, yeah, I'd be curious to see how it turns out.
Yeah, I mean, the quote I found, it said DC Comics TV project related to DC Film Universe. I mean, I think they're involved with it. I don't think it's like a third party taking it over. I think they're in it.
Sci-Fi seems like kind of a strange platform to put that on. But.
Yeah, I agree. But I don't know. I think it'll probably be on Netflix or Hulu. Who knows? I'm excited for this, Sean. I think it's going to be a great show. I think playing off a great movie like Man of Steel 200 years before time, I'm all about it, man.
Do you feel like this is kind of like they had some success with Gotham, and they're going to try to replicate that with this? And like going even further back, like, you know, everybody's seen a lot of the story with Superman being a kid and getting raised on a farm, and that probably wouldn't. I mean, there was Smallville forever, which I feel like was kind of like Gotham, but way cheesier.
Yeah,
and so they're just kind of trying to replicate their success with that and this.
I completely. That's a great point, Sean. Like maybe Jor-El, Superman's father, maybe he's a kid in this.
Yeah,
you know,
200 years. Yeah, for sure. I know they. It's like they live longer, I think, didn't they?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Jor-El isn't a part of it at all. But, yeah, I think that's a great point. They did see Gotham, this model, work out and be successful. They know Batman and Superman are what sells. That's what people want to see if it's done right. And that's a great point. Maybe they're trying to do the origin story, so to speak.
Yeah, well, hopefully it turns out well. Hopefully it's good. We'll see. Only time will tell on that one.
Yeah, pretty exciting.
Yeah, sticking with Superman and whatnot. So the rumor is going around currently. It's been cited in a few publications that Batman vs. Superman budget has grown to this point to $410 million. And it's not done yet. So it's not, they're still working on it.
What?
Yeah. $410 million to make that movie so far.
Maybe it's back end of like editing and stuff, because I thought that they had wrapped filming. Maybe I'm wrong.
They wrapped the main scenes, I guess, from what I read. That they're still for any fixes and editing, and I'm sure there's a ton of CGI in it.
Yeah, I'm sure most of that is CGI budget and stuff, not because I'm sure that they're just working with the content that they filmed.
And I'm sure that probably doesn't even cover all the additional costs, and then once you get into marketing full throttle, yeah, I'm sure it's going to go up. So, I mean, potentially we could be talking the most expensive movie ever made. So,
What's the currently? Is it Avatar? Is Avatar the...
I don't know, man. That would be a good question. I don't know. It's got to be like Avatar or something, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure James Cameron, we might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was Avatar. But wow, that's pretty crazy, man. I mean, this movie, I'm very confident in that it's going to be absolutely incredible.
So I just read that Pirates of the Caribbean was actually the most expensive movie ever made, which was...
That doesn't surprise me.
Dog shit, though. It was a terrible movie.
Well, all of them. The whole... I wasn't a big fan of them, yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of them at all.
But that said, it capped out at $378 million, so if that rumor's true, then it already is the most expensive movie of all time.
Yeah.
So they said all the Hobbit films back-to-back cost $623 million. So...
What? Just The Hobbit?
Hobbit trilogy.
Is that including Lord of the Rings?
No, just The Hobbit trilogy.
What?
Yeah. But that
makes
sense.
Seems like too much.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, stuff's getting expensive. So do you think they have the potential to make that back? Make a profit off of this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have no doubt that it's a sound investment. I know that, I know that this is, it sounds stupid because it's like, well, what proof do you have? I don't have any proof that this movie's going to be a blockbuster, just kill it at the box office.
Well, I would say
I just have a,
after Star
a
Wars,
sixth
this
sense.
Has the biggest hype of any movie I've seen.
It has a lot of hype, which is good. You need a lot of hype.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to say, I'm not trying to be fucking asshole who thinks he's the shit, but I did call out that Fantastic Four was going to be a stinky shit in the toilet, and I was right. The production team was Zack Snyder. How much time they put into the script, the casting, I mean, Suicide Squad with Jared Leto, I mean, all of this is going to tie in with each other. Like, they have a formula that's going to be successful because they put a lot of time, effort, and got the right people involved. So that's why I think it's going to be a huge success. I think it's a little shocking that they've spent that much money, but I think it's totally going to make it back in maybe a couple weeks.
And not to mention, you know, that the studio was so impressed by the super rough cut of it, they gave Ben Affleck three more movies.
Yeah.
To be Batman and direct in, even. And not to mention, we've got Justice League movies coming out. We have another Ant-Man movie coming out. So there's a ton of like superhero movies that are in the works. I mean, in the next 20 years, I think we're going to see so many from DC, Marvel.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Sean, I played some Destiny this week. Have you played any Destiny lately?
No, man. I've been super busy with work and stuff, so.
Yeah, no, and the wedding and everything that's been going on, it's been kind of hard. I luckily have. I got to play with some buddies of mine, and Iron Banner was going on. And I just wanted to bring up just a little bit of Destiny news. The Iron Banner, the rewards were weak because of a bug Bungie just revealed this week, and that pisses me off because I played probably like 15 hours of Iron Banner. And I didn't get any rewards from the Iron Banner. So they were pretty apologetic, and they said, last week it was clear to us that you were frustrated by the Iron Banner rewards drop, and rightly so. Turns out that we started digging into the same issue, and we uncovered a nasty bug that affected how legendary drops happen throughout the Crucible, including Iron Banner. So Bungie apologized, and they said they're working on it. They also canceled trials that a lot of people were kind of up in arms about because there was a glitch for the Hunter's Void Bow Super. I think it's Quiver. They were just unlimited shots, Sean. So they had to fix that patch before they could bring Trials of Osiris back. And then they were having problems with Iron Banner, just with not giving rewards. And this gets frustrating again. Destiny always has a struggle, Sean, of a lot of work for very little reward. And it's kind of frustrating because they keep running into it. They also have the Nightfalls aren't being rewarding at all. So they've addressed that as well and saying, we're working on making Nightfall rewards worth it again. And I mean, what do you think about this? I mean, it feels like Destiny's kind of making the same mistakes again. And I still love this game. You know, the microtransaction thing annoys me. We talked about that a week or two ago, but I don't know. It's kind of frustrating. It feels like they're just running on a treadmill. It's like, don't you guys get it? You have to make things rewarding if I'm going to sit in front of a console for 10 hours, you know?
Yeah, I mean, at least they fessed up to their shortcomings on this one. Yeah, man, you know, that is frustrating. It doesn't almost make you not want to really invest your time in something that just isn't working properly. You know, bottom line, it's just not producing what it's supposed to do. And I could see your frustration with that for sure.
Yeah, but you're right, Bungie's very vocal and very in tune with the community, and that's what makes them great, and that's what keeps me honestly coming back to play Destiny. It's such a great game, but man, it's this weird conundrum. It's like there's so much shit wrong with it, but I can't stop playing it. And Bungie just keeps trying to refine it and make it better and better. And the Taken King has been better. But yeah, man, I just thought I'd bring that up to anybody who enjoys Destiny and wanted to hear a little update. So we're still very involved in the Destiny community. So yeah. Well, what next do we have on the docket today, Sean?
Yeah, so next up we have Bob Kane was given a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Looks like a lot of people showed up for it. The director for Batman vs. Superman, Zack Snyder, showed up for it, and a whole bunch of other people. He, for you guys that don't know, has been credited as the creator of Batman. So anytime you've seen a movie or read a comic book, you'll always see, like, created by Bob Kane. So
I thought it was really cool that he got honored with this star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I know they technically call Bob Kane a co-creator, but I've always looked at Bob Kane as the creator of Batman. It's really cool that they're honoring his legacy for our favorite superhero that he created. Batman's been around for over 75 years. And it's just a really cool memorial to this awesome idea of this superhero that's lived on for almost a century. And I thought in honor of Bob Kane we'd bring that up, and I think it's really cool. And Jim Lee was there, which is really cool. A lot of cool people were there who are involved in the comic book world to pay their respects and honor to Bob Kane for that. So that was really cool.
Yeah, for sure. So Bob Kane, I don't know. So anybody that's been in the comic book world for a long time knows there's a big controversy that actually was starting to get cleared up this year finally, with a co-creator, Bill Finger. Let's start from the beginning. So Bob Kane, he's credited with creating Batman, but there was a book that was released, like a autobiography of Bob Kane's life, that kind of shat all over the guy, and probably rightfully so after what this guy uncovered. So basically, it talks about how Bob Kane, in the, what was it, probably the 30s, late 30s, early 40s, was working for DC. He created a character that he sketched out. He's an artist. He was drawing comic panels and stuff like that back in the day. He had an idea for a character called Batman. He drew like this really loose interpretation of what you could call Batman, I guess. And I'll post a picture of his vision for Batman later on. So he had this idea. He wasn't a great writer, so he reached out to a friend of his, Bill Finger, who basically wrote the entire story of Batman. He's the one who actually, outside of coming up with the name of Batman and that he was a superhero, came up with Gotham, came up with the idea of Batman, came up with Bruce Wayne, Batman's alter ego, came up with Gotham, his parents being killed. He invented Robin, Catwoman, Penguin, the Riddler, Scarecrow, the Commissioner Gordon, the Batmobile. He created the Joker. So, yeah, he turned it into a story. He wrote all these stories for him. How it turned out that he became the only person credited with this. Bill Finger started telling people that he was a co-creator of Batman, and it made Bob Kane really upset. And so he started spreading these rumors that he didn't do anything and that he wasn't part of it at all. And then from what this book that I read talked about, basically the creators of Superman, what was their name? Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster were the creators of Superman, went to DC to try to get their character back. And then they approached Bob Kane and said, hey, let's go to DC. We want our characters back. We'll all get together and we'll sue DC. Bob Kane kind of went behind their back and told DC that they were planning this, which allowed DC to prepare a defense against them, and which is why DC still owns the rights to Superman. And because of that, he was granted sole creatorship of Batman for all of time. And since that time, Bob Kane has added a lot to Batman, and he has worked very hard for his character. But a little shady background story for you guys. I just wanted to share with you, if you don't know what was going on with that. But recently, DC, after that book was released, they went back, they looked, and it came to light, and they've given co-creatorship to Bill Finger after all was said and done. So if you look at anything, if you look at the end of an episode of Gotham now, it'll say co-created by Bob Kane and Bill Finger. So they worked out a deal. So in the end, it all worked out good, luckily. But yeah, man, it's just a little history lesson for you guys, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. I've heard bits and pieces of that. Never, I think, the full story. Yeah. I mean, who knows what's true? I'm just glad Batman exists.
Me
and,
too, my friend.
If both of these guys made them together, great. Whoever put in probably more effort is up for debate. Who knows? Who cares? Probably just artists being little bitches to each other and being greedy and wanting money. And who knows what anybody's motive was and any of that. But we're just happy that
it exists.
Batman, yeah, it exists. And I just thought it was cool that Hollywood was recognizing a creator of our favorite superhero.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. And actually, you know, with Zack Snyder actually showing up to it was really phenomenal too, because he was actually a big pusher for Bill Finger to get credit. He actually was the first one that said that undoubtedly he will have Bill Finger on as co-creator for the end of the film, Batman versus Superman. And so, you know, obviously he shows his respect to Bob Kane as well, going to show up for his star that was on the Walk of Fame, which is awesome. So anytime those people are getting credit for that, I think that's great. So
yeah, awesome.
Especially,
I agree.
I mean, how many movies and franchises have, you know, has Batman been a part of, and how much money has he made for Hollywood. So yeah, that's great. You know, it's almost like Batman getting his own star. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, Sean, we had a tweet from a person who wanted to put a topic on the show. So I thought that I would read that tweet off. Thank you so much for submitting this. This is from @Mark339, and he says, 5280 Nerd, I would like Sean to discuss who would win a fight between Superman or Goku. And he says, it needs to be detailed. Well, we'll go as quick as we can because we're running out of time. But thank you so much, Mark339, whoever you are.
Sounds like an idiot.
It's he does not. We love all of our listeners from 5280.
Most of our listeners.
All of them.
Some of them.
Every single one.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think
Superman.
I don't know, dude.
Goku's
I don't know
stupid.
If Goku would win with his spirit bomb or Kamehameha. I don't know. It's really hard for me to say. I'm sorry. I'm stuck in my mind right
Are
now.
Serious?
I'm just going to blurt
Superman?
It out. I think Superman would win, too.
Obviously.
Barely.
Undestructible.
Barely.
Barely.
It would be his biggest foe he ever faced, yeah. Goku would be.
He would throw
hands
Goku
down.
By his MC Hammer pants.
Superman just by a hair. Thank you for the question mark. We appreciate, and if you guys want to tweet at us, please tweet at 5280 Nerd. We would love any topics, any questions, any silly things. Keep in contact with us. I promise you, you might be surprised it might show up on the show. So
I will
we really encourage you to
answer more
that.
Anime questions. So thank and you, Mark, very much for sending that. We do appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. So, well, we got one more kind of we kind of started a tradition a couple weeks ago to do kind of a fun question we ask at the end of the show. And this week, our Q&A is, if you were Batman, who would you rather fight, Sean? Would you rather fight the Riddler or Mr. Freeze? Which one, I guess, do you think you could, I mean, beat easier? Who would you rather fight?
Okay, so... Didn't see this part of the notes, so going off the fly here.
Off the fly,
off
yeah.
Fly. You know, I think I would want to fight the Riddler more.
Really?
Yes, because he's all about mind games. He's, you know, he's not really out for blood. He's just crazy. He's just insane. And he's portrayed by a wimp. So once Batman catches
Edward
him,
Nygma.
Yeah, he's not usually that much of a threat once you get past his mind games. Mr. Freeze, on the other hand, also smart, was a doctor. He has a cold heart, so he won't
easy
he
now.
Won't stop. He's got super powerful weapons. He freezes things. And he's definitely out for vengeance because he's trying to avenge his frozen dead wife.
Yeah. I would. I'm the opposite. I'd rather fight Mr. Freeze because I feel like the Riddler's a smarter and better villain than Mr. Freeze. So I would want to just fight Mr. Freeze because it's pretty easy to figure him out. The Riddler would be hard, really hard.
He's Batman, though.
It would.
Batman is the detective, so giving him.
Well, this the question is if you were riddles, Batman.
Yeah, but
if
then I would
Sean
have
Porter.
Batman's powers. So
yeah.
His keen detective skills.
Would you agree that the Riddler is a more formidable foe than
no,
Mr. Freeze?
I don't.
You don't think
Not
so?
Not Batman.
I think he is.
He's the ultimate detective, so having a villain that does riddles is stupid.
But he's not a stupid villain. He's
I know,
a smart
but it's
villain.
Like, okay, Batman's greatest tool is his mind. He's this amazing detective. And so then you have a villain whose only power is to riddle people. It's like, duh.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to get it every time. Whereas, like, I could freeze you. Your brain's not going to help you if I freeze you.
It's the same thing that we run into. It's villains that Batman has that some challenge him on a physical level or an intellectual level. And that's why we love the Joker so much, because he challenges him on those two levels plus, like, a spiritual level, like on an intimate level of him questioning the fiber of who he is. But anyway, like I feel like I don't know. I feel like the Riddler is a more formidable foe, so I'd rather fight Mr. Freeze. Take the easy way out.
Honestly, I think it's the opposite for me. I think Riddler would be the easy way out. Yeah, man, I think with Batman, I think what makes his supervillain, his doppelganger or whatever of the Joker, is because he's complete chaos. And whereas I don't think, like, the Riddler is obviously, he's got a boundary that he lives in because he has a riddle and an answer.
He's got more of a plan, probably.
Yeah, whereas, like, yeah, his whole thing is trying to outwit Batman. But, yeah, the Joker, it's just different. And Mr. Freeze, I feel like, is the same way because he's all about vengeance. So there's not a lot of thought that goes into him going after people. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's just a lot more bloodlust than...
Yeah, well, I respectfully disagree, but I thought it's a good question, right? Yes. I delivered another good question, so I'm just going to pat myself on the back here really quick. Can you hear that?
It was a question. I don't know if it was a good question.
It was you're right, it was a great question. yeah, so I think that wraps it up for this week. We're out of time. We are out of time.
Out of time. Back in time. Speaking of back in time.
We're not mentioning it.
Back Future Day came, and I want to talk about it really quick, and I think it's great. So I love that movie, and I hope everybody else does.
It is a great movie. It's a great franchise. It's awesome.
We are now in the future.
We are. So. Back to the Future is in the past now. Ho, ho!
Oh. On that stupid joke. We're out of here, folks. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Like always, you can reach out to us at 5280Nerd. On Twitter, you can reach me at Sean H. Porter. You can reach Micah at
Vash0077. And don't forget to rate us on iTunes. 5 stars, please. We really appreciate it. It helps us move up in the iTunes world, which we really appreciate.
Absolutely. And check out our website, 5280nerd.com. Love you guys. We hope you have a great week. And we will definitely see you next time.
See you guys later. Thanks. Dun, 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 dun. What do we have here? What's the news for today? The new Star Wars trailer.
Ah, ja, ja, ah, ja, ja. Back in time. Speaking of back in time.
We're not mentioning it.
Back Future Day came, and I want to talk about it really quick, and I think it's great.
I think it's a big step, and fuck you, Colin Coward, you fucking asshole.